Afternoon, everyone. My name is Rabbi Jared Ann Standig. Some of you I saw earlier at the Lunch and Learn, and I'm happy to have you back as we continue our discussion about Sukkot. My sources are going to start after the Etrog page. You got the pictures of all the fun crafted Etrogim. Carfu, not Carfu, I'm not sure. After that, you turn to the next one. This page says praying for rain. That's what we're going to talk about right now over the next... I'll try my best to keep it to 24 minutes to give Rabbi Torchiner his full 30 minutes. Okay, so this event, of course, as everyone said, is dedicated by Michael and Marcia Lax, in memory of Michael's parents, Ben and Leah Lax, Dov ben Mordechai, Zichrona Livracha, and Leah Bat Tovia, Zichrona Livracha. And this year is also dedicated by Dov and Jane Goldberg in appreciation of Toronto Torah. Okay, so... we are now talking about Sukkot, towards the end of Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret. We're going to start asking for rain. I give you on the page one of my sources. Page one, source number one, is an excerpt from Tfilat Geshem, the prayer that we say on Shemini Atzeret. We start asking God to bring the rain. And this is not just something that we recently made up. In fact, this is already mentioned in the Mishnah, the very first Mishnah in Masechet Tanit, and I give you that in source number two. The Mishnah in Tanit tells us, Meimetai, from when does one begin mentioning the might of the rains by inserting the phrase, he makes the wind blow and the rain fall, right? We don't start asking for rain yet. We're going to start just praising Hashem, praising God for the fact that he makes the rain come. The asking we're going to come to in a moment. But right now, in Shemini Atzeret, we're going to start talking about how God brings the rain. And so the question is, when do we start doing that? The Mishnah tells us, the top paragraph in source number two, Rabbi Eliezer says, from the first day of Sukkot. Day one of Sukkot, you go out to your sukkah, we talked before, lulav, sukkah, okay? First day of Sukkot, you start talking about how God brings the rain. Rabbi Yeshua says, from the last day of Sukkot, not the first day, the last day. They have a conversation now, the bottom paragraph of source number two. Rabbi Yeshua says to him, since rain is a sign of a curse during the festival of Sukkot, right? It starts raining, you can't sit in your sukkah anymore. So why would you start talking about rain on the first day of Sukkot? Rain is the last thing we want. I was talking to someone earlier. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. We also had, I have memories of high school shoveling snow off of the schach. So, you know, you don't want precipitation on Sukkot. That's the last thing you want. Rabbi Eliezer said to him, I too did not say that it's proper to request rain at this time, but it is proper only to mention the phrase, he who makes the wind blow and the rain to fall in its due time. In other words, I'm not saying to ask for rain. I'm just saying we should start talking about rain. If Yeshua says, if all you want to do is start talking about rain, so start talking about rain whenever you want. He says, if so, we should always mention rain, even in the summer. Talk about rain whenever you want. If you're talking about rain because like you're indicating that like this is something that we now sort of want. So we shouldn't say it because we don't really want it right now because it's sukkah. If it rains, we can't go into the sukkah. The conclusion, of course, like we will all do on Shemini Atzeret, is that we start asking for rain at the end on Shemini Atzeret, once we're done with the holiday of Sukkot. That was all mentioning rain. Bottom of page number one of my sources, source number three, the Gemara in Masechet Tanit, now starts talking about, okay, but when do we start asking for rain? So it tells us, on the third of Mar Cheshvan, one starts to request rain in the Amidah. Rabban Gamliel says, on the seventh of Mar Cheshvan, which is 15 days after Sukkot, so that the last of the Jews who travel to Jerusalem on foot for the festival can reach the Euphrates River, right? Because now we're going to start asking for rain. We don't want rain to come while the Jews are still traveling back home. It's going to rain, the roads are going to get muddy, it's going to be a pain, so we hold off on asking for rain until 15 days after, since all the Jews are out, everyone's back at home, they don't have to do this, you know, international travel. Rabbi Eleazar said, the halacha is in accordance with Rabban Gamliel. That's what we do. But not all of us do that. It is taught in a braita. Now the second paragraph of source number three in the bottom of page one, it is taught in a braita that Hananya says, in the diaspora, one does not begin to request rain until 60 days into the season, i.e. 60 days after the autumnal equinox. Right? And this, of course, if you're looking, remember in the Art Scroll Sidurim, in December, outside of Israel, in the diaspora, it's in December that we, outside of Israel, start asking for rain. And that's what the Rav Huna Bar Chiya said, that Shmuel said, the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of Hananya, which means, bottom line from source number three, we see, if you live in Israel, you start mentioning rain, everyone starts mentioning rain on Shemini Atzeret. The rainy season is about to come, we start mentioning how God brings the rain. When do we start asking for rain? In Israel, we do it 15 days after, in the middle of Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, and in the diaspora, We hold off for asking for rain until December. Everyone with me so far? So this makes sense. You sort of look like, what's the word? What's the word for weather? What's it? Meteorologically. That makes sense. You look on top of page 2, and you look at the average rainfall in Tiberias, Israel, versus in Al-Fallujah, Iraq. Al-Fallujah is not far from where Nahar Deya was, and that's where Shmuel was, we saw before. You look and you see that the rainy seasons are really, they're not the same. But you look at in Tiberias, Israel, you're going to start getting some real rain coming already in October 15th. But if you look in source number 5, in Al-Fallujah, Iraq, your rain is really only going to start picking up in December. So the fact that we would start saying, well, we're going to start asking for rain later when the rain's about to come, that makes sense. There's a difference between what's the reality of the climate and the rain systems in Israel versus in Iraq. That distinction makes sense. And so that's what we see right now. Also, you see the rainy season ends at a slightly different time. We're gonna come back to that in a few moments. But so we see that the difference between Israel and the diaspora makes sense when we're thinking about, well, when is the rain starting to fall in Israel versus the diaspora? Everyone with me so far? Israel starts asking for rain earlier than Babylonia, than outside in the diaspora, and that seems to be nicely reflected when their rainy seasons start to kick off. So this all works nice and good when you have a rainy season that looks sort of like this, Israel, and you've got Al-Fallujah, Iraq. But let's say you have something that's slightly different. Skip right now quickly, just briefly, to source number 7 on page 4. Above the line, you've got the average monthly rainfall of Toledo, Spain. You look in Toledo, Spain, you see the rain starts coming in September, but the rainy season is still going to keep going until June. So the rainy season in Toledo, you've got a lot more rain lasting, the rainy season in Spain, Toledo specifically, lasting a lot longer than what we're used to in Israel or in Al-Fallujah, Iraq. So keep that in mind as we flip back to page number 2, source number 6, a responsa of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher. He's posed with the following fascinating question. The question is, right here, bottom of page 2. In the year 5073, from the creation of the world, the rain stopped, and it did not rain all winter except for a little bit. And he's in Spain right now. It's not raining. Bottom of page 2, source number 6. It's not getting rain. We saw that rain's supposed to keep on going till June, and they're not getting rain. So that's a problem. They declared a fast to plead with God to give rain upon the ground. It was on the first night of Pesach, after the evening prayers, my master and father, Benu Asher, was sitting on the door at the door to the house. Some of us stood around him to his left and to his right. And he said, now is a good time to raise something that I've always wondered about. Rabbeinu Asher is sitting, afternoon, they're going to start davening Marvin a little bit. He's sitting by the door. Everyone's sitting around him, and they're schmoozing. And he says, you know what? I've got something that's been always bothering me that maybe we should talk about right now. What's been bothering him? He says, why not invoke and petition for rain until Shavuot? Why are we stopping to ask for rain now? The rainy season's going to keep on going. Why are we stopping to ask for rain now? We should keep on going till Shavuot. And they're in a drought. They need the rain right now. So he's saying, what are we doing right now? Stopping to ask for rain. Now is a specific, we want rain right now. Why are we stopping to ask for rain? So he's sitting and they're schmoozing about this, and some of the people there are saying, you know what? That's actually a really good idea. We should go tell the elders. We should tell, like, you know, the gabbai of the shul. We should tell everyone. And they do. And the gabbai's, everyone likes it. So they send to the chazan to mention the rain. Oh, tomorrow in davening, make sure you say Mashiva Ruach. I know we're supposed to stop, but like, we've decided we're going to keep on saying rain. So they tell the chazan that. Everyone goes to shul the next day. You can do it at the top of page 3. They do so. Then shul, they mentioned 13 attributes of divine mercy, and there was an uproar when they recited it, when they started praying for rain. They mentioned the prayer for rain. The shul, the whole commotion. What's going on? Everyone starts yelling, arguing. Some of the rabbis there were not included in the decision. They said, what's that? We weren't included. I'm not in any WhatsApp group. This was not discussed with me. What are you doing here? You're starting to ask for rain? What are you doing here? That is not appropriate to cite. It is a sign of a curse. We don't want to ask for rain right now. That's not the rabbis. We stop asking for rain. What are you doing asking for rain right now? So Rabbeinu Asher is, you know, sitting in the pews. He hears everyone arguing. He knows that he was part of the, I want to say instigator, but he was one of the people, he was the one who brought this topic up. He sits quietly and he waits. He doesn't want to start addressing it then. He waits till after Yontif, and he writes down his arguments. And he this what the continuation of page 3 and on to top of page 4 is an explanation of why Rabbeinu Asher said what he said. Everyone with me? What's going on? Why are we asking for rain? He says, I've got a reason why. And he writes it down. Right, he writes the second paragraph on page 3. Since I heard that some are wondering about my words, I came to explain what I said, that it is not appropriate to stop mentioning and asking for rain on the first day of Pesach. This is not a new thing, but for many years in Germany, I had a problem with two things that they practiced. He said, I was in Germany for some time, and they also did the same thing that they're doing here in Spain. They're stopping and they're starting in a time that he says, I think is wrong. And this next paragraph, he's going to say, they started too late to ask for rain. And the last paragraph, he says, they finished too early. And so we'll see. He says, first is that they do not ask for rain properly. Even though it is stated in the first chapter of Ta'anit, it is taught, Rabbi Hananya says in the diaspora, we do not begin until the 60th day of the season. Rav Huna Bar Chiya said the name of Shmuel, this law accords with Hananya. In other words, we saw the Talmud, which says that we're supposed to start asking in December. That's Babylon sits on water and they don't need rain until the 60th day of the season. Or the planting season was later in Babylonia. But in Germany, where the planting season is in the middle of Tishrei and beyond, it is well known that if the rains do not fall after the seeds are planted, they will be ruined since the birds and mice will eat them. Why should we not practice like they do in Israel, asking for rain in Mar Cheshvan? He says, Germany needs the rain earlier. What are we doing not asking for rain? Why are we waiting till December? We need the rain now. Why are we waiting? In Babylonia, oh, you're going to tell me, but the Talmud says that in Babylonia, in the diaspora, they wait till December. He says, because that's what they needed. In Babylonia, they acted according to what they needed. And the Mishnah in Tani, which teaches that they begin in Mar Cheshvan, that was taught in Israel, according to their needs. In other words, when do you start asking for rain, talking about rain? When you need it. If you live in Israel, you start it when you need it in Israel. If you live in Babylonia, you start it when you need it in Babylonia. And get this, if you live in Germany, or you live in Toledo, Spain, you start asking for rain when you need it there. Why are we asking for rain in Germany when they need it in Babylonia? We need it now. Why are we waiting? That's problem number one. And then problem number two, the last paragraph in source on page number 3. The second practice is that they stop mentioning and asking for rain on the first day of Pesach. And it is well known that in Germany, the produce is primarily from the rains that fall between Pesach and Shavuot. Everyone knows in Germany, you need the rain between Pesach and Shavuot. That's crucial rain season. You need that rain. So now all the German Jews are going to, once Pesach starts, they're going to say, I know I need the rain, God, I need the rain, but God, don't bring in the rain anymore. Stop mentioning rain. So that doesn't make any sense. Now is the time when they need rain. Continue praying for rain between Passover and Shavuot, he says. And the Mishnah in Tani 2a, that states that we stop mentioning and asking for rain on the first day of Pesach, that was taught to people who live in Israel. As I have proved, and for them, the barley harvest was on Pesach, and the wheat was already standing, and they only needed to dry out. You didn't want the rain. For them, it was a curse. But in Germany, where the grain cannot survive without rain between Pesach and Shavuot, rain is a sign of blessing for them. So why should we not mention and ask for rain until Shavuot? This is crazy. We need the rain and we're not asking for rain? Last line of page number 3, which is the most important part of this, he says, each and every land mentions and asks for rain according to its needs. Top of page 4. For just as Israel and Babylonia have different practices for mentioning and asking for rain according to its needs, the same is true for other lands. For what is the difference? This is bottom line. The Jews in the times of the Mishnah were living there in Israel. And in the times of the Talmud, you had Jews in Israel, you had Jews in Babylonia. So those are the only areas that were discussed. But obviously, just think about it. We're praying for rain. Not because, we're not just saying like, you know, we in Canada, like we're not necessarily all fluent Hebrew speakers. So we're just like saying Hebrew, we don't know what we're saying. But imagine if you know what you're saying. You're saying, God, I need rain. So if you need rain, why aren't you saying it when you actually need rain? It doesn't make sense. You should say rain when you need the rain, he says. Everyone with me? So this he's saying, this is what they did in Germany. It always bothered me. He says, now that I'm in Toledo, he thought maybe it was time to do something about it. There was a huge uproar. So he's trying to explain why he thinks it's not that big of a deal. And then he brings another paragraph, which we're going to come back to. This other paragraph, he says, further proof can be brought from this in Ta'anit 14b. The following case, the Talmud describes the following case. It's not like this is the first time that anyone ever thought that maybe they should ask for rain at different times. This happened in the Talmud. The people of Nineveh, I'm on the top of page 4. The people of Nineveh asked Rabbi Yehuda the prince, are those like us who require rain even in the summer season, considered as individuals who ask for rain in Shomei HaTefillah, or as the masses who recite in Birkat HaShanim? Meaning, there's a bracha in the Amidah that we're supposed to use to ask for anything we want. It's if you have a feeling, you have something you need, you fit it in there, and that's the bracha of Shomei HaTefillah, the bracha towards the end of the Amidah, where we declare praise Hashem as the one who hears prayers. If there's something that we need, we can insert it into that bracha. Put it right in there. So maybe, they're saying, should we ask for rain? We need the rain right now. Maybe we should ask for rain during this blessing, right? That's the time you could ask for a new bike, you could ask for rain, you could ask whatever you need, that's the place that you ask for something. So should we ask it then? Or should we ask it another time? In the benediction called Birkat HaShanim, the benediction that is the normal place that you ask for rain, right? You ask for multiple things in the Amidah, there's a bracha that's specifically the rain bracha that we alter during the summer. So the question is, if we need the rain, can we alter the rain bracha to say we need rain? Or should we just hold off and only insert it in like the personal supplication section, right? In other words, are we considered individuals, the people of Nineveh? Are we considered individuals where everyone just asks their own private needs? Or are we like the masses where everyone asks for it in the proper place, the benediction where you ask for rain in general? So that's their question. That's what they ask Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And he says, you are like individuals who recited in Shomei HaTefillah. He says, you guys? No. Since the rainy season, like we're done saying it, you are individuals. You want to ask for rain? Because they go right ahead, ask for rain, but do it as an individual. Do it in the like, can I have a bike and also can I get rain? Not in the special rain blessing. So you would think that that is the opposite. Rabbeinu Asher is saying everyone should ask for rain in the proper rain benediction. But here, this passage of the Talmud is saying people of Nineveh ask it in the special personal blessings. He said, we see that Rabbi only disagrees regarding the residents of an individual city. This was the people of a specific city called Nineveh. But regarding Germany, which is very large, Rabbi would agree that they should continue asking for rain as long as they need it. In other words, he says, look, if you're a group of small city, let's say like Toronto was unique, the GTA was unique, so then maybe we're all individuals. But if like the whole region, the whole area has a general need, we're not individuals anymore. Rabbeinu Asher says, the city of Toledo in Spain, this is the masses. We add the blessing in the proper rain blessing. We don't just put it in the personal supplication thing because we're not individuals. We're like all of Spain. Yeah.
Nineveh would already be covered anyway because it's part of Babylonia, so you're already saying it at the rain.
So they're saying in the summer, they need the rain in the summer. Everyone stopped and now it's June and they need rain.
Nineveh is different from the rest of Babylonia.
So that's what he's saying. Yes, the people of Nineveh are saying, hey, excuse me, Rabbi, we have a unique situation. The where we're located, however, yes. They were arguing they were in a unique situation. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, since you are in a unique situation, you can do it, but do it as an individual. Rabbeinu Asher is saying, yeah, but if you're like a whole region, then the whole region is going to say it as the masses, putting in the blessing. So that's Rabbeinu Asher's point. And as we saw already in source number 7, we see that the rain patterns, that makes sense. The rainy season in Toledo, Spain, is much, much longer, much, much later. So for the Rabbeinu Asher to say this is what we should do, that makes sense. Now, in the last, I didn't put it in the interest of space, but it is an important piece. Rabbeinu Asher ultimately says, I'm not going to push it. There was a huge fight over it. He says, I'm not going to do it. Everyone making a big fuss, they want to make sure, they want to stop asking for rain at Pesach. I'm not going to make any changes to the liturgy. I'm not going to do it because the last thing I want is there to start being like rifts and arguments from the community. I mean, we had the great debate, Sukkah Lulav debate. He didn't want to debate now. He said, I'm not going to argue this. I'm not going to make any changes. But you should just know, like, I think that this is a mistake. We're good?
Sure.
So now let's do one more case. Maybe we'll say it more outside. We'll do one more case. Let's say you're in, like, a total flip. I give you Brazil, for instance, where you see the most rain. The rainy season in Brazil looks like we're hitting, like, May, June, July, November, when North America, where we're all starting to say in December, we're starting to now ask for rain, they're getting like 10 millimeters of rain. Like, that's not the rainy season for them anymore. The rainy season was in June 18th. That was when the rain was. So we're going to start asking for rain in North America in the December time. That's like the wrong time in Brazil. Thoughts on this? What do you think, given what we've seen so far? Exactly. That's the point. Now that we're in the Southern Hemisphere, seasons are flipped. Exactly. 100%. They're flipped. Winter is summer. Summer is winter. Does that change our liturgy now? That's the question. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if respectfully the focus should be more on the words Hakashem. And so the difference between the two is that people living in Eretz Israel, Lord willing, can be observant of our calendar and the rest of the world. Kusaras is on a solar calendar. And if you're on a solar calendar, the only time there is a synchronization actually happens around the equinox and the equinox, and the equinox just before the equinox, the winter solstice. The longest or the shortest days of the year, depending on, or the longest days of the year, depending on where which hemisphere you're in, are like on the 5th of December, and then by the 21st of December, it actually starts to change, to turn the other in the other way by the 21st of December. And being the shortest day, it's actually been the period of shortness of the day has actually started to change.
You know, yeah.
If you're familiar with mathematics, it's like the
right.
It's like the first derivative is already. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Now, if you take a look at a Hag, it is a holiday, right? So like,
yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting to think about. Interesting. Interesting. There's we only have a couple more minutes left, but there's probably a lot to unpack there, but thank you for that. So this question, the Jews of Brazil in the sometimes 1600s, they were the first Jews arriving in Brazil. They were likely living, the earliest communities, one of them was in what's now called Recife, which is the rain chart that I gave you in source number 8. So they send message back to Salonika, to Rabbi Chaim Shabtai, and they asked him, what do we do? Right, the seasons are flipped here. What should we do? In the interest of time, I'm just going to skip to the second paragraph of source number 9. They basically say, not only is rain, it's like not the rainy season when everyone in northern hemisphere is asking for rain, rain is actually really bad for us. They said, like, it's bad, the moisture in the air is that leads to diseases, rain is really bad. We don't want rain during the times when the northerners are asking for rain, and we do want rain when they're not asking for rain. So they ask, what should we do? So he concludes, from the time of Sukkot to Pesach, and I'm on the second paragraph of source number 9, from the time of Sukkot to Pesach, according to what is brought in their question, and the rains are bad for them and bring on illnesses, certainly they should not mention it and not ask for rain at all since it's bad for them. He says, you can't start asking for something that's detrimental to your health. That would be really bad. So don't start asking for rain. What do you do during your rainy season when it's not the rainy season for the northerners? It appears in this location mentioned in the question, they should not mention ask for rain the entire year, for the reasons mentioned above. But if they need rains in the summer months, from Pesach to Shavuot and on, they should ask in Shemaya Tefillah. So Rabbi Chaim Shabtai doesn't have the guts to say what the Rush said. He says, you're like a community, say it in the blessing for the precipitation. He says, no, don't do that. You can say it, but do it as a personal thing. You don't want to make a big stand as a community saying, we're asking for rain right now, because the Northern Hemisphere is not doing that. But you need the rain. You should ask for the rain, but ask for it as an individual. What we see here, I think really fascinatingly, is this debate between what does it mean to be an individual versus part of the community versus part of like the world Jewish community. And if the Jews of Northern Hemisphere are saying one thing, to what degree do the Jews of the Southern Hemisphere have to fit in with what the Northern Hemisphere Jews are doing? And Rabbi Shabtai here is ultimately saying, as a personal individual, say it privately, but you don't want to distance yourself from the world Jewry, i.e. Northern Hemisphere Jewry, for that purpose. Just to conclude with one final brief point, I want to look at source number 10, a passage from the Masechet Chulin, which I'll say it outside, which ultimately says that when the creation of the world, the Torah says at one hand that God created the plants, but then at the end, only later on, do the plants actually come up. The Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Were they created earlier or were they created later? He says, no, you don't understand. They were created and they were just held at the bottom, right below the surface of the earth. And then Adam HaRishon, first man, was created. And then first man prayed and then it rained. And the Talmud ultimately concludes to teach you that the Holy One, blessed be He, desires the prayers of the righteous. That ultimately, Hashem wants us to have a relationship with Him. The first rain only happened in the history of the universe, in the world, because Adam HaRishon asked for the rain. And so we should keep in mind, when we're thinking about asking Hashem, talking about Hashem brings the rain, and asking for Hashem, asking Hashem for the rain in its proper time, we should know that we're asking and talking about rain for the purpose of developing a relationship with Him. We should be able to continue to develop that relationship with Hashem, continuing to ask for what we need, whether it's rain, whether it's a new bike, whatever it is that we need, to have that relationship with Hashem, because that's ultimately what Hashem desires from us. The idea we see here is that we're talking about local rain.
Okay.